Did you just love the pictures on the screen and appreciate our praise band? I just love that song, Your Grace is Enough. I met Matt Maher years ago and just really beautiful song and all of our songs this morning. I'm reading this morning from the book of Ruth, and I'm going to be reading in chapter 1 if you want to follow along with your Bibles or on the screen, and reading verses 11 through 17. But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." And then reading in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, and reading verses 1, 2, and 6. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. And without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." This is the word of God for the people of God. As we celebrate Mother's Day, we celebrate all women. We celebrate the family, and we celebrate life. I came across some quotes that maybe you would enjoy on Mother's Day. Some of them are more humorous, some more serious. But one says, "A definition of mom: someone who loves you unconditionally." Momster: what happens after mom counts to three? "My nickname is Mom, but my full name is Mom, 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 Mom." "Nothing is really lost until your mom can't find it. And it better not be where she told you it was in the first place." Now, a little more serious. "Mothers hold their children's hands for a short while, but their hearts forever." Lincoln said this, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." And last, from Mitch Albom in the Detroit area, "But behind all your stories is always your mother's story, because hers is where yours begins." And that brings us to the story of Ruth. I love this little book in the Bible, which starts with tragedy, but ends in triumph. It almost reminds me of a Walt Disney movie where Snow White meets her Prince Charming, or Belle discovers the prince in the beast. It's a story of survival. It's a story against all odds, but it's a story, it's a love story. And this story brings hope to us today, as it did to Bethlehem and all of Israel in ancient days. Do you remember how it began? There was a famine in Israel, and so Naomi and her husband Elimelech decided, we got to go somewhere where there's food. And so they head out to Moab, not Moab, Utah, but Moab outside of Israel. like a lot of stories, like the people that Steinbeck talked about in The Grapes of Wrath, people that head west, what is hopeful ended often in difficulty. And so the same happens to Naomi. They get there, they find food, but then her husband Elimelech dies. This is a blow to her, but then it looks a little better. Her sons, Kilian and Mahlon, meet two girls. Orpah, by the way, Oprah is the same name, but they switched the letters. And Ruth. And so their hearts are happy again, but then the boys both die. They've been through a famine. They've had death. There's nothing left. There's no one to take care of them. There's no one to farm the land. And say, so Naomi says, I'm heading back. I'm going back home to Bethlehem and find some relatives. And she said, do not call me Naomi. Her name meant pleasant. But she said, call me bitter because my life is bitter. But God's about to change that. But you know, sometimes things happen to people, sometimes to all of us. But if you've ever met someone, a tragedy after tragedy occurred to them, and you hardly know what to say to them. I just received word that a friend died of an unexpected heart attack, was sitting on his back porch. And what makes it so sorrowful is that 30-some years ago, he and his wife lost their young teenage daughter. She was playing chicken on her bicycle. Was hit by a car and died. Life can get difficult, but it seems that for women, especially those that are single, that life can really be tough. I read that single American women today in the U.S., 1 to 4 children under the age of 18 are raised by single mother. A total of 17 million kids are being raised without a father, and 40% of them are in poverty. That's what happened to Naomi and Ruth. And they didn't have anything. But God blessed this mother and daughter-in-law, and it gives hope to all of us of what God can do. I want to look at a number of qualities of Ruth that allowed her to receive the favor and the blessing of God. And as we start, and I think about the life of Ruth, I think about the rose. And we're going to talk about this throughout the service. If you didn't get your rose now, you will get one for ladies as you leave. But the rose is the universal symbol of love. It's said to be the favorite flower worldwide. It's used to celebrate Mother's Day, weddings, baptisms, the birth of a child, and yes, even in memory of a loss of a loved one. But a rose helps me picture Ruth's life, and we're going to talk about that. The first quality that stands out about Ruth to me as I read this scripture is her loyalty and her love. Now, I'm sure Orpah loved Naomi too because she kissed her, but Ruth was not about to let this dear lady travel the journey by herself. Ruth was going to go with her, and Ruth was willing to leave her country and her home to care for an older person. And some of you here know what that's like. You're caring for a mom. You're caring for a dad, a grandmother, grandfather. And sometimes it takes a great sacrifice. But God notices and God is pleased. Now, in addition to her love and loyalty, one of the things that Ruth saw in Naomi was her faith in God. And this was part of her decision. You see, Moab was pretty pagan. They had all kinds of idols. They had child sacrifice, and they did all of this stuff. And I have this feeling that Ruth said, you know what? I'm done with Moab. I want to be in another place, and I want to know the living God, and I want to live a life that's faithful and true. And so Ruth decides for her future. She says to Naomi, she said, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I'll die there, and I will there be buried. I think we sang a song last week to these words, but there's another song, Whither Thou Goest, I Will Go, that we had sung at our wedding, Carol and I. And I just want to say this morning that as I look back over our years together, these words have been fulfilled. Carolyn has been willing to go where God led us in the ministries of 8 different churches. On some occasions, said, "Where in the world is that place?" I knew where it was, but I'd been in Michigan only less than her, but wondered where in the world it was. But she has been willing to accept like family the people that I've ministered to. And we've had a lot of folks in our home. And her support and faithfulness has made a big difference. And I thank you, dear. And she has also loved my family as her own. So Ruth had a great deal of love for her mother-in-law, and she was loyal to her. As I think about her sacrifice of love, it makes me wonder, how could we show more love to moms, to grandmoms? I've often thought that love is spelt with these four letters, T-I-M-E, time. I worked as an orderly in a medical care facility, and there were people there in the Ambler Rest Home outside of Philadelphia that didn't get a visitor once a month and sometimes 2 months. Celebrate mom. Celebrate grandmother. Celebrate the special women in your life, but not just today. Keep on connecting and caring and loving, and give them the gift of time. Well, life was not easy for Ruth. And again, it reminds me of the rose. You know, they tell us, and I've seen rose bushes they've cut down way back to the ground. And if a rose bush is going to produce beautiful flowers, it's got to be pruned. It's got to be cut. Ruth was pruned through a famine, losing her husband, leaving her home. But a beautiful rose came forth at the end of her life. Women of faith know that God wants to bless you, but sometimes to blossom, sometimes to have something fragrant and beautiful, there is pruning. God may be pruning you now. I want to be honest with you. I do not like to be pruned. It hurts. Because something is cutting away, being cut away that's part of your life. Maybe a dream has died. Maybe an aspiration is just not working out. I have felt pruned in the ministry. And sometimes I said, "Oh God, what are you doing?" But what I notice is that after there's a pruning, that God brings forth fruit. Friends, I want to tell you this morning, if you're in a painful relationship right now, God may be pruning, but God can bring forth something beautiful. If you worked really hard on something and your efforts were to nil, if it died, God can bring forth something beautiful. If you've gone through a marriage difficulty or presently, if your son or your daughter has turned from you and your values, know that through that pruning, God can produce a beautiful blossom and fruit in our lives. Well, Naomi and Ruth head out to travel to Israel. There were no street lights, no paved roads, no rest stops, and no security. They were easy prey for bandits on the way. They had to cross the River Jordan, and then they had to go up a 2,000-foot slope. I can't imagine two women doing that alone. They must have had somebody that they connected with to get along. But the second quality that I want to look at with you about Ruth is her faith allows her to trust God for an uncertain future. You see, not only was the journey difficult, not only was what she went through difficult, but when she gets to Israel, it's like, are they going to accept me? I'm outside the culture. Sometimes God calls us to go somewhere that's different than what we feel comfortable with. Can somebody say amen? We don't like that, but sometimes it happens. God did that with a lot of people in the Bible, Abraham and others, to step out in faith and do something different. Companies are always talking about doing something different, right? Companies are always talking about reinventing themselves, going a different direction. I heard Andrew Liveris's speech this week, and he talked enthusiastically about the new configuration of Dow DuPont. And many of you are employees. And you've had that experience of having to make a change, adjust to a new community. The way we do church is also changing. Some old things will have to die and new things are going to have to be put in place. Some people say, I will never change. Well, that's what the dinosaurs said, and they died out. I need to change too. Where do you need to change? Where do you need to grow your faith? Again, Ruth had to accept a new people, a new custom to do things differently. I know one thing, God wants to deepen my faith and God wants to deepen your faith. We may view this book as kind of a musty old thing and genealogies and all this stuff and we can't connect with it. But this book has promises and stories and testimonies of God's work that can transform our lives. And if we're not digging into it, we can miss a whole lot. We're going to be starting small groups. We want to do it church-wide coming in a few months in the fall. And we want to get people into a small group. We want to dig in and we want to build relationships, get to know people, and grow in our faith. Well, when they arrived in Bethlehem, you know, what do you do? They found a relative. They got a place to stay. And Naomi, as a good Jewish mom, taps into the grapevine. You remember that song, I Heard It Through the Grapevine? She tapped into the grapevine. And she was working. She's going to find Ruth a husband. She knows that the custom is to find one of the distant relatives. And she hears about this guy, a very eligible bachelor by the name of Boaz. And he's got a big farm. But he's also a godly man. So she says, Ruth, tomorrow go out into the fields. Find the fields of Boaz and glean in those fields. Gleaning was a biblical practice. The poor were supposed to gather the grain that was kind of on the outskirts of the fields to meet their needs. So Ruth says, all right, I'll do what you say. So she heads out. Now, Bethlehem is a small town, and news travels fast. Have you ever lived in a small town? How many of you lived in a small town? This is not a small town, by the way. A town of 100, 200, 300. How many? Everybody knows everything about everybody, right? I remember I lived in the small town of Peck, and I was a single guy, and I hadn't quite gotten on to the fact that people knew a whole lot about me that I didn't know about, that they knew. And people already knew about Ruth. They knew what she had done. They knew she was a foreign girl. They knew she had cared for Naomi. And so Boaz saw her over there in the field and he said, who's that? Well, that's Ruth. Came with, oh, bring her over here. You guys take care of her, watch over her, and you give her the best of the grain. So Naomi, Ruth, comes home with more grain than anybody had been gleaning. And Naomi is, it's working. God's at work. He's going to provide a husband. And then she says something that's really tough for us in the 21st century to understand. She says, now, my daughter, you go out tonight and you go to the barn and all the people be laying out on the barn floor. And you find Boaz, and you lay at his feet. Ooh-wee. Had to be scary for Ruth. It was a custom. When Boaz discovered her at his feet, he was shocked, but he was also blessed, and he knew what was going on. She was saying, will you have me as your wife? So he said, shh. Cover yourself up. Tomorrow, nothing went on. Tomorrow, I'm going to go and I'll talk to the elders of the village and I'll see if I can be your kinsman redeemer to be your husband. So he goes to the village and they all said, Boaz, go right ahead. And so God brings this wonderful story together this love that is shared by a younger woman, a man that's maybe a little older, but all for his plan. And so they're married. And Ruth and Naomi have gone from poverty to prosperity, from loneliness to Boaz and probably all his family and reunited, and it was a great wedding, and it was just amazing. And every step of the way, even though at times they doubted and were discouraged, we see faith in Naomi, in Ruth, and Boaz. And so I want to say to you, friends, we've got to have faith. Hebrews says, when you look at the men and women of the past and God blessed, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Did you know that if I don't trust God, if you don't trust God, we're actually not pleasing God? Wow. God wants us to trust. Sometimes it's hard to get there, but to have faith in what God can do. Where do you need to have more faith? Maybe you're a young man, young woman. You want to meet the person of your dreams. Maybe you're a parent. You want one of your kids to meet the person of their dreams. Live a life of faith. Ask God to provide. Maybe you're in a situation at work, and work is not working for you, and you're not being fulfilled. Ask for God to provide and guide you and have faith. Maybe your family is divided over an issue, and everybody's fighting. They're not getting along. And you're wondering, what is going on with our family? Have faith. Believe that God can transform and change human hearts. Now, this love story is not the end of the story, the marriage. They go on, and Ruth and Boaz have a son. His name is Obed. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot to most of you. Cool, Obed, one of those endless genealogies. But then Obed has another son, Jesse. Now some of you are tuning in, but Jesse has a son, and his name is David. And David becomes the greatest king that Israel ever had, leading it into prosperity, into worship, and the blessing. But it doesn't stop there. David is the ancestor, so is Ruth and Boaz, of the Savior through Mary, Jesus Christ. And so Boaz is the kinsman redeemer who rescues this poor lady, becomes her husband, and cares for her, lifts her out of her poverty and her brokenness. But Jesus Christ, friends, is our kinsman redeemer. He is one of our flesh. He is our brother who also came to rescue you and me from the poverty of our sin and from our brokenness. And Paul writes in Ephesians that we are the bride of Christ. And so this wonderful love story pushes us thousands of years down to today and the love of God for you and for me. I read that the oldest rose bush in the world is 1,000 years old. I read that the biggest rose bush in the world is 9,500 square feet. Roses can produce hundreds and thousands of roses in a bush. And so the rose is a picture to us, not of just human love, but of God's love. Jesus is the rose of Sharon, Solomon, Song of Solomon says. But you know, roses have thorns, and they can hurt. And sometimes our life can have thorns. It can be painful. But Jesus wore a crown of thorns to show his love, to blossom into a beautiful rose in our lives. You need to receive his love. You need to know his love. You need to know that he cares for you. He wants to provide. He wants to bless you. Ruth may not have had a very good mother. Her mother may have died. That may have been one of the reasons that she chose to follow Naomi. You may not have had the mother that you wished you had either. But God calls you like Ruth to be the woman of faith, to be the mother, to be a woman of excellence. And God promises to go with us and to guide us and to provide for us. May God bless you like Ruth and Boaz. And happy Mother's Day to all.
In a moment, I'm going to have you stand, but while our band is coming.